cards and the pins in the back, the Connect cards are really important, but we don't want you to have like suffer a rotator cuff injury trying to get back behind around for you. So we'll figure that out. But anyways, let me tell you one other thing that's more awesome, to quote our wordsmith, Jordan Merck. We have, starting next Sunday, new service times. So we will be meeting at 9 and 10:45. All right, so that means you guys have got to show up 15 minutes earlier than you're accustomed. Well, I shouldn't say that. It'd be 30 minutes from today, wouldn't it? So anyways, that's what we're shooting for, is 9 and 10:45. That'll start next week. That's how you'll register and all that kind of fun stuff. So just a little, please note that. I know someone's going to show up late, and you're going to walk in and go, wait, is daylight savings time? What happened? All right. So 9 and 10:45. Next thing is that, and this is for all of you tuning in. Hello, all of you that are here. It's awesome to be together. We don't know what Governor Inslee is going to be saying next, or I guess tomorrow. I think he's speaking tomorrow. But at this point, we've found a way we can do the seating the way it's going to work. And so we think those times will work, and we're excited about that. We're taking a little break from the book of Matthew. Those of you that have been here, you know we got 11 chapters in, and we're taking a little break. We're going to do a relationship series this week, and then I'll be hitting something else very important in May. And then we'll resume towards the end of May. We'll resume our study of the book of Matthew. But to get into the spirit of this morning, we're going to talk about friendships. And I thought it'd be really interesting to kind of see what kind of shows we like to watch, maybe. And I actually saw on Ranker TV, their website, they had the top 30 greatest TV shows related to Friends of all time, okay? And I tried to pick one for each decade. I started with the 80s. And I'll give you the number in the top 30. But I'd like to see, just a show of hands, how many of you watched these shows. I'm going to start with, remember, we're going back to the 80s. That's way back for some of you, not so far back for others. Coming in at number 18 was this show right here. Cheers, right? How many of you, by a show of hands, really enjoyed watching Cheers? Yeah, that was a great show. My favorite line of all time was by Norm when he comes walking in to the bar. Remember, everyone goes, "Hey, Norm," right? And they go, "How you doing?" And he says, "It's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear." That is a great line by Norm. Okay, coming in at number 13 in the decade of the 90s would be the next show, Seinfeld. 13! I mean, come on, that to me seems like Seinfeld's not getting quite enough props there. We've watched that show egregiously too much, I'll just say that. Coming in at number 27 in the 2000s is this next show, Glee. How many, by show of hands, still watch Glee? Not many in the first service. We got a few over there. Not many in the first service here. I didn't ask. I didn't mean to diss Seinfeld. How many of you watch Seinfeld regularly? Wow. Okay. So far, Cheers is seems like it got the most. Okay. Number two in the top 30, with 2010 to 2019, is this one right here. How many of you, by show of hands, have watched New Girl? Okay. I never knew that show existed. Okay, very nice. I realize I don't have something for 2020. It's like with live streaming, with Netflix and Hulu and all that, it just, they didn't have anything for that. But this may not be a surprise of the top 30. And this list was updated, mind you, as of April 1st, okay, of this year. The number one, as voted by those who cared to vote, number one best show about Friends was Friends, that's exactly right. That's probably no great surprise there. Now, the fact that we have watched these shows, we've enjoyed them, I'm just wondering if there's been some way that maybe the way these friendships were portrayed on TV might have influenced us or created expectations that aren't really healthy. I mean, think about it. They're sitcoms, right? That means that the stories were written and the parts were acted out in such a way as to be funny. And so maybe that isn't really how friendships necessarily work all the time, every time. And I'm just curious if we see that and we might get our expectations kind of too high or too low, or we expect too much of people, or whatever the case might be. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to sharpen our friendship skills, not shaped by Hollywood, but we're going to look at what does God's Word say about friendships. And what I want to do is I'm going to first make a few general statements about friendships that I think will just help us to kind of think about generally. Then what I want to do is I'm going to give you three what I call sticky friend traits. All right? In other words, if you have these and exude these traits and somebody else does as well, that's a friendship that's going to stick. That's going to be a good friendship, okay? And then I'm going to close by saying two more specific statements about relationships. So we'll start general, get sticky, and then get specific. All right? So that's kind of what is in front of us. Now, to do that, let's open our Bibles up, our Bible apps, if you have them, to the table of contents, because surprisingly, the Bible has a lot to say about friendships, but where the greatest collection seems to be, in one sense, in the book of Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament. It's about halfway in your Old Testament table of contents. So whatever page that corresponds to in your Bible or on your Bible app, let's turn to the book of Proverbs, and I want you specifically to turn to Proverbs 17. We're going to look a little, just a survey of a few Proverbs. These are wisdom sayings that have general relevance and meaning and truth. It doesn't mean that they happen every time, all the time, because they're general truth statements. And we're going to look at the ones associated, not all of them, but some that I've chosen related to friendships, just to get a feel for what does the Bible say about friendships? What is it, in particular, what does it describe and prescribe as healthy friendships? So, Proverbs chapter 17, let's start with verse 17. This is the writer of Hebrews, or excuse me, writer of Proverbs, Solomon, and it says that a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for a difficult time. Now, I'll just skip a chapter over to chapter 18, verse 24. A man with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. Notice it doesn't say there's a friend who is closer, stays closer than a brother. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 27. And we're going to look at a couple in chapter 27. These are just, again, general wisdom sayings about friendships. Chapter 27, verse 9. It says, oil and incense bring joy to the heart, and the sweetness of a friend is better than self-counsel. Okay? And the last one, same chapter, but verse 17. This is the one probably most of you are familiar with. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. So that's just a general kind of survey of biblical wisdom sayings related to friendships. Now, I want to kind of drill down on, let's look at friendships specifically. Remember, we're going to look at general statements, sticky traits, and then some couple specific ones. Let's start with the general. Now, here's a question to kind of open it up and see, I'm going to get you thinking, all right? Tell me, what was the first relationship ever? Anyone want to shout out? What was the first relationship ever? God and Adam. Okay, anybody want to? Father and the Son. Give Tim Cavell a hand. Timmy. It is the Trinity. Right? God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three different persons. And they perfectly relate one to another. That means that God inherently and intrinsically, get this, is relational. He knows how to relate. Well, what does that make us? We have been born and created in the image of God. That means that we inherently and intrinsically have the ability and the need and the desire to connect, to relate. Now, admittedly, we have different and various capacities in doing that and needs to do that. And let's just say, has COVID not shown us at the very least how important connection is? Okay? So we're talking about the fact that we have been created inherently and intrinsically to connect. Now, we have different capacities, different needs for that. And there are different kinds of relationships. I want to point out three types of friendships that exist. The first is what I call our show-up friends. Now, show-up friends are the kind of friends that you see when you show up somewhere. You show up to an event. You show up to work. You show up to school, whatever the case might be. And these are people, you show up to church. And these are people that you kind of like, you enjoy their company, and so you'll sit down with them and talk, or you'll stand around and talk with them, whatever it might be, and you're looking for people. Like when you came here, it's just comforting to come here and say, hey, I know those people, and that's good, that's important. We need show-up friends. The second category of friends, which I think we probably have more than any of the categories that I'm going to mention, are the fun friends. The show-up friends, it's kind of spontaneous. You really don't have any control over that. The fun friends, there's some selection involved in that, right? And the fun friends are those that you just enjoy doing things with. It could be camping, it could be golfing, it could be having dinner, it could be going on walks, it might be going on vacations. Whatever the case might be, is you enjoy them enough that now you start to do some things together. And those are very important friendships, right? Let's talk about the third friendship. And this is a friendship whose term was coined not by me, but by, and this is a throwback for some of you, Rick Bielsbacher. And he called them 2 a.m. friends. And those are the people that you know well enough, or they know you well enough, you care about them enough, they care about you enough, that you can call them at 2 in the morning, wake them up, and they'll be glad you did. They'd be upset if you didn't, knowing what you might be going through, or you might be upset that they didn't when you find out what they were going through. And the 2 a.m. friends, these are the friends that you pray with. These are the friends whose advice you seek when you're making very, very important decisions, and you heed their advice, you listen to that, and you weigh it very carefully. These are the kinds of friends that you will let them hold you accountable for things that are a struggle for you. These are the kind of friends who influence you in how you think and what you do, and you allow them to influence your family. These are the kinds of friends that are 2 a.m. friends. And these are the friends that you choose very carefully. There's no spontaneity to this. There's no just some general selection. This is someone that you think about very carefully, because of all that involves. And this is the kind of friendship that I really want to focus on this morning, are these kinds of friendships, because I think we have too many. I think we have too many fun friends at the expense of 2 a.m. friends. And I'll hopefully build a case for that here in a minute as to why they're that important. Next general statement about friendships. And for that, if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 13, let's look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. By a show of hands, be honest. How many of you have been among a companion of fools before? Have we? I mean, right? You're back. We got stories, don't we? We got some. And here's the weird thing about it is, imagine, and maybe you caught yourself. You're in the midst of these, you know, boneheads, right? And you're like, I'm the smartest of the group here. What am I doing here? What is going on, right? So, the point in all that is, we have to recognize that our friendships will shape us one way or the other. They are going to shape us either for good or they're going to shape us for bad. There was a quote, and I cannot remember who quoted this, but I remember it a long time ago when I was young, and the quote goes like this: show me your friends and I will show you your future. I remember that from a long time ago. And this person was, I respected them a great deal so well that I can't remember, but this is how far back it goes. And I just remember him saying, show me who your friends are, and I will show you what your future will look like. And I mean, that has stuck with me. And honestly, when I think about it, when I think about some of the friends that I had or acquaintances that I had, and I remember who they hung out with, I kind of see now how their future really was born, whether it be good or bad, from the people that they were hanging around with. So we need to be very careful with our friends. Maybe after we go through this, maybe you need to think about shifting some of your friendships. Maybe they need to be not in this category, but in this category. Maybe you have some 2 a.m. friends who really need to be more like fun friends. And maybe you have some fun friends who really need to be, and it's not to say they can't be fun friends, but who really need to be 2 a.m. friends too, because they're just that impactful, all right? But the point is, realize who you hang around with is going to shape you one way or the other. Last general statement, and that is that some people just have a hard time with friendships. They say, I'm not good with them. They take energy out of me. And for different reasons. There's a myriad of reasons. For some, you have a unique kind of quirky personality, if I can say it that way. And it sometimes you find it hard to kind of connect because of that. Maybe there's something, just some aspect of your personality that maybe you're a close talker. You're like just, and every time you come talk to somebody, you know, you're backing up, and then that's hard, you know, kind of thing. Another reason might be that you're deeply insecure, and you're thinking, who could like me, and who really cares about me? And if you walk around kind of with that in mind, you're never really going to connect deeply. Or maybe you're introverted. I mean, half the room is probably introverted and half the room is extroverted. And for an introvert, it's more challenging, inherently. Some of you are judgmental. And I don't necessarily mean that in the way that maybe the word judgmental is thrown around. What I mean by that is you have strong opinions. And when people don't share your opinions, there's this personal frustration down inside of you that just, ugh, how can they not see that? And you try to hold it in. But that's going to get in the way of really having close friendships. And it means you just got to do some work. And those reasons that I just mentioned, and there's others, just recognize, I got to do some work. I got to do some work that might keep me from really having these close friendships. So there's some general statements just about friendships. Now, let's talk about sticky friend traits, all right? These are traits. There's more than the ones I'm going to give you, but I thought long and hard about these. These are the three that I think will help you be sticky, and you looking for people who are like this will stick to you, all right? And I think that makes for a very strong relationship. Let me start with the first one. And before I give you, when I say these three, I'm pulling them out. I'm not saying that common interests aren't important. That's important. I'm not saying having a schedule that works to where you can see somebody, you know, somewhat regularly. I mean, that's important, right? Proximity, are they close enough that you can get together? Yeah, those things are all important, but I'm going to pull out these three. All right, and for the first one, let me read to you from the book of Galatians. This is Paul speaking in Galatians chapter 2. He says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then in James chapter 5, verse 16, let me read to you. James says this in chapter 5, verse 16. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So Paul is saying that we're to carry one another's burdens. Well, that presupposes we know what one another's burdens is, which presupposes that we've said something about our burdens. And that's a challenge. What we need to recognize is that when we share our needs and our brokenness, and that's what James talks about, that we're to confess our sins to one another, right? We're to say, here's where I'm broken. Here's where I've messed up. Here's where I'm struggling to do right. That takes a level of vulnerability, and that is really the first sticky friend trait, is we've got to find that level of vulnerability to really connect. You see, it's sharing our feelings, and I know I just said that, right? And some guys just checked out on me, sharing feelings. I know that sounds foreign, it sounds difficult, but we also have to share our needs. That's even worse. You know, I've just gone against, you know, like man code 1 and 2, right? Don't say how you feel. And don't certainly tell them you need something, right? But when you don't do that, and when I don't do that, we're drawing this boundary around ourselves from the relationships that we really need, those two-way relationships. Because what happens is life is really authentically lived at the level of brokenness. If we just stay on the surface, if we just share facts, and facts are fine. Facts create conversation. And certain types of relationships, facts are plenty and all that's needed. But if you just stop there, you're limiting how you can really connect. And I realize this is really hard. I'll confess to you something that I'm getting better. I'm growing in this, I think, a fair amount. But I remember my first, a very close friend. The first time he said this to me, we were on the phone, we were talking. And right before we hung up, he threw this at me. He goes, I love you. I was like, whoa, helmet, dudes don't say that to each other. I mean, that made me feel very, very uncomfortable. And I said to him, yeah, thanks, man. Boom. I couldn't say it back. And I was like, okay, well, did I like hearing it? I did, but at the same time, it made me feel very awkward because I thought, I gotta say it back to him at some point. I don't think I can do that. Guys, don't say that to each other. At least that was kind of what I was working with, right? I have since, this was many years ago, I have since been able to say that back to him now. And I'll still say, sometimes it just still seems just a little weird. But the connection we have is unlike anything I have. And it requires that. And I think that's the kind of friendship that we all really desperately want. Rather than putting these boundaries and barriers around this, our relationship, when we refuse to share our feelings and the needs that we have. Now, let me just say a caveat here. Be careful of introducing TMI too quickly. All right? You need a certain time to get to know each other before you kind of begin to share your burdens. I mean, so you'll remember this, when we met a new family in our church. You're laughing because you know what I'm going to say right now. We met a new family in our church. This was a long time. We were meeting in Hunt Elementary, I think, or it might have been in elementary, I can't remember, but it was like they had been to our church like maybe one Sunday or two. That was it. And we realized that they lived down the street from us. So we went on a walk, and one night we walked past their house and knocked on the door just to say hi. And the guy came out, and we were not long into this conversation when he goes, "Man, I got blood in my urine." We were like, what? Hold on a second here. That just like knocked us over. We're like, whoa, hold on, time out. That's worse than I love you right there, okay? So you got to be careful. How you know, don't scare somebody like that, all right? It's just, we couldn't believe, now we joke until I go, was it blood in urine conversation? Yeah, it was. It was, okay, but, so anyways, vulnerability. It will make you a sticky friend, and you will find a sticky friend when you do that. Secondly is humility. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul says this. He says, "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves." So, humility, Paul is saying that we are to consider others as more important than ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean more valuable. Don't make the mistake of thinking that's what it's saying. It's not to look at someone as if they're more valuable. Okay, no, they're more important. In other words, in the moment, as we're commanded in other places in the scripture, that we're to serve and sacrificially love other people and put other people first, that's what that means. Imagine the relational horsepower you could have, I could have, if in every interaction that we had, and in particular with the friendships that we have, if we were considering them and treating them more important than ourselves. I mean, people will be sticking all over you. Maybe you're thinking, well, that's the reason I don't want to do it. You can control that, all right? And I don't mean by treating people less importantly, okay? You can create the boundaries and the important boundaries that you need. But the idea is that we are to treat and think of other people in a way of thinking more about them. I mean, and you know people like that. There are people that you notice, wow, they're always thinking about me. They're never thinking about themselves. And that stands above, that kind of rises above what normally happens. They're sticky. You like being around them. Now, how do we treat people more importantly? Well, for one, we show them respect. Right? In other words, we don't say critical things to them in a mean-spirited way. We don't make fun of them in a mean-spirited way. I mean, are there affectionate ways to make fun of people? And it's like, you kind of get that you're saying in a backhanded way, but in a way that they can connect with it, that you really do care about them. Yeah, you can do that. But it's also, it's listening to them. Listening. It's sitting there and engaging, not thinking about what you're going to say next. It's listening to them. How many of you, by a show of hands, have found yourself before meeting someone and forgetting their name 60 seconds later? Raise your hand. Yeah. Why is that? Why are we not so focused when we interact with people? It was really funny. After the first service, there was a new family that was walking out, and I was talking to them. And there was three of them in the family. And I introduced myself, and they introduced themselves and said their names. And we were talking, and then I wanted to pray with them before they left. And I wanted to pray for one person in particular whose name I forgot. I had the other two. I remember the other two, but I forgot the dude's name that I wanted to pray for. And of course, I'm hoping someone is going to say his name in the midst of our conversation so I can look like I got all three. But I had to say, you know, in light of what I just said, what's your name? So how do we treat people more importantly? We make sure that we listen. We're not thinking about what we got to say first. And for someone like me, that's really hard because I have the attention span at times of a hamster. And when they're saying something, I want to say something back, and so I interrupt them. And I've had the Holy Spirit, I mean, my wife, let me know I do that before. You're interrupting. I'm like, I am, aren't I? Well, it's because I'm going to forget what I want to say. Well, maybe, you know what, if I forget what I want to say, maybe it wasn't that important. And if I just listen to them, maybe I'm showing them that they truly are more important in that moment than I am. And that makes me a sticky friend. Thirdly, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, which I just read to you, verse 3, let me read to you chapter 2, let me read to you verse 4, which comes right after that. I'll find it here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, everyone should look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Sticky trait, friend trait number 3, is taking an interest in other people. Taking an interest in them. So when you're talking to people and you're listening, listen for what makes them excited or for what they like or what they're interested in and ask questions about that. See, when we ask questions, we're showing we're interested in you. I mean, when people ask you a bunch of questions, and I've had a number of conversations, when it was all said and done, if you were to have a tally, in other words, be how many questions I asked versus how many questions they asked, I probably asked 50 questions, they asked 2. And you come away from that interaction, you're kind of like, did they find me interesting? Did they really want to be there? What's going on here, right? Now, in defense of them, I may not have given them a chance because I'm just, that's possible. You guys have had those conversations before when you're like, wow, I seem to be the one asking all the questions. Are they interested in me? And maybe they're showing you, hey, the kind of relationship they want with you, the kind of friendship they want with you, maybe it's more of a show-up friendship, or maybe it's a fun friend, rather than a 2 a.m. friend. And that's okay, all right? It's all right for that disparity. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, but just recognize it and read it and work with that. Maybe you're getting an idea. And you might vice versa in the other way. You might find yourself not particularly interested in a person, and that's okay. Just recognize when you're looking to stick and when you want to stick, take an interest. Here's another one that kind of can show how this can get off sometimes, and that is, I'm guessing you've been in conversations before where you come to somebody and you start a conversation about something that's going on with you, and they hijack that conversation. And then they all of a sudden they take it, and it's all about them after that. And in some ways, maybe it was with good intention. Maybe they're trying to share with you their own experience similar to the one you just shared, trying to say, hey, I get that, I connect with that. But the problem is, if you're not aware of it, you'll run off with that. And you'll leave them behind, and they'll walk away thinking, wow, what I hoped was going to be a dialogue turned into a monologue. And now I know all about them, but they really don't know about me and the struggle I'm having, the challenge I'm having. And that works against strong, sticky 2 a.m. friendship. I mean, you might want to just a little test. You might want to, the next conversation you have, when someone comes to you, really watch yourself and say, how much do I really listen to them? How much do I ask questions about what they're bringing in? Or do I jump to what I have in a similar way? Done, experienced, feel, etc. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. Okay? All right. There's your sticky traits. We talked about some general statements, sticky traits. Let me finish by sharing just a couple of specific statements about friendships. The first is friendships, 2 a.m. friendships in particular, need to be intentional and purposeful, okay? Now, I realize that when I talk about these close 2 a.m. friendships, it is impossible to have the time, the emotional energy to have many of those. You just can't. To really invest in someone in that way, for them to invest in you, you really can't have a lot of those kinds of relationships. There's just not enough of you and not enough time for that to happen. Now, I would suspect you would say, maybe many of you would say, well, I have a lot of really good close friends. I would tell you more than likely, and I'd be willing to talk with you about it, that they're probably fun friends that have a little bit more than just fun. You're sharing some things. But do you have, go back to what I said about what is a 2 a.m. friend? A 2 a.m. friend is someone that you allow yourself to be influenced by, that you allow to pray for you, that you seek counsel in very important decisions, and you listen to them. You don't just listen to them for the sake of listening to them. You really factor it into the decision that you're making, that you really can't see in some ways where you've gotten to in life and where you are in life and in your family and in your vocation, in your walk with God, whatever it might be, without them. And as I said before, I think we have a lot of fun friends, but do you really have many, if any, 2 a.m. friends? Because those are really, really important. We when we were reading those verses in Proverbs, right, we saw how a 2 a.m. friend loves you especially in difficult times. They don't tuck tail and run. They get dirty. They get messy. They get in there, all right? We saw in Proverbs also how that they are, they keep you from harm's way. They will speak up when they are concerned for you. We saw how they, iron sharpens iron, this idea that they really will help you grow spiritually to be a follower of Jesus. And this is where I want to park out for a minute. You see, we need the 2 a.m. friendships, and I'm going to challenge the 2 a.m. friendships that you have. Do they involve a component that helps you become a more committed follower of Jesus? Do mine. You see, we're to steward those. God blesses us with those. But are we using them? Are we leveraging them for the spiritual blessing and benefit to us and to them that God has allowed them into our lives? Which is to not enjoy a fun vacation, not solely to enjoy bowling league, not solely to enjoy dinners once a week or once every month. Whether, no, these friendships have been given to us because we need them to grow spiritually. Let me listen to what Jesus says about these kinds of friendships. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 40, Jesus says this. He was still speaking to the crowds when suddenly his mother and brothers, were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But he replied to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, that person is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus is elevating the relationships with other followers of Jesus. He's elevating them. He's saying these are really important. Why so? Because these are the relationships intended, gifted to you by God, so that you can grow in your walk with Christ, so that I can grow in my walk with Christ. And I was really convicted of this. I shared this with you maybe a few weeks ago when I'd been hanging out with a 2 a.m. friend, spending a lot of time doing a lot of fun things, and it was great. But I kind of realized in the midst of it, wait a minute, this guy's a blessing in my life, and I hope to be a blessing in his life so that we can actually draw closer to Christ. Maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to talk about that. And so, sure enough, we spent some time, and it was awesome. It was wonderful. But it could have been so easily missed if the Spirit of God hadn't prompted me to do that. I'm challenging you in those 2 a.m. friendships that you have. Is that happening? Is it happening? Because God is blessing us for the purpose of growing spiritually, that without these kinds of friendships, it's not going to go as well. And Jesus is clearly elevating those kinds of friendships, but we have too many fun friends. I think that comes at the expense of the exclusion, even at times, of needing 2 a.m. friends. Let me share with you one other place in Matthew chapter 16 that kind of shows this in action in a way. Jesus kind of reinforcing what he was saying when he says, and when he elevated those friends that are there to help you stay on the mission that God has given the church. Those who are there to challenge you and hold you accountable to being and living like Jesus. Remember Peter, right? Jesus is talking, and he's telling Peter and the disciples that he's going to die. And Peter, being a good friend, says, no, Jesus, stop talking like that. I'll never let that happen to you. We will not let that happen to you. You'd expect a good friend to say that, right? You'd expect a good friend to come alongside and say, no, that's not going to happen. But what does Jesus say to him in response? He says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns but man's. You and I need 2 a.m. friends who are thinking about God's concerns for you and for me, not man's concerns, not your concerns. We need those kinds of friends. We have other friends, fun friends and show-up friends that we don't expect that from. We don't need that from them, but we need that from our 2 a.m. friends. Do you have a friend like that? Are you a friend like that? Because those types of friendships matter a great deal. Last specific statement about friendships, and that is, please do not turn seeking those kinds of friends into idolatry. Please do not make them the reason that motivates you to come to church. Let me say it that way. And over the years, over the 20 plus years that we've been doing ministry, I've had many conversations of people who have come to High Point and they're looking for a good friend. Mom's looking for a good friend. Dad's looking for a good friend. Even the kids are looking for a good friend. They're looking for how can we get them together? Because friends are important. Friendships are important. Yes, they are. But when that becomes the reason for why you're coming to church, that you're getting involved in a church, you're making that an idol. You see, going back to what I said a few weeks ago, the church is not a cruise line. It's not a cruise ship. It is a battleship. We're in a battle. And what we're doing when we come to church, when we become a part of a community of faith, we are to take our station. Whatever on this battleship, whatever our gifts are, we're to man our station. And in the process of manning our station, in the process of being a part of the mission that God has given, that Jesus has given specifically to the church, to take the kingdom of God out as we're doing that, as we go along, those friendships will come. But if we make that our motivation, if we make that our God, we have to have that to be happy. My friend, you will be one of the worst friends ever. You will be accused of stalking people. You will put expectations on people that they will not be able to meet, and you'll be frustrated, and you'll get frustrated inside. You'll choke out the opportunity. If that is your God, if that is what's driving you, you see, you have already a friend, a 2 a.m. friend in Jesus himself. I mean, think about what he did, right? He lived the perfect life in your place and my place. He did what you couldn't do. And he did it for you. He did it for me. And then he died a substitutionary death so that God's judgment would be taken out on Christ. He did that for you. He did it for me because we couldn't do that. And then God raised him 3 days later and said, this is the guy. And when we put our faith and trust in him, our sins are forgiven. We're treated and given credit as if we lived Jesus' life. Can you get a better 2 a.m. friend than that? And if you start there and then begin to serve in the kingdom of God, the friendships will come. They will come. And Jesus was very clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be given to you. These other things are the provisions and the needs that they had. And God is saying, I'll provide for you. But seek first the kingdom, and the other things will come. So, 3 general statements about friendships, 3 sticky friend traits, and 2 very important specific statements about friendships leads me to the challenge this week, and that is, I would challenge you to work on the weakest sticky friend trait: vulnerability, humility, and interest. Which one are you the weakest in? Focus on that. Say, this is the one I'm going to work on, okay? Secondly is, evaluate your closest friendships. Do an audit and say, how many in these friendships I have, who's drawing me closer to Christ? Who's making me pursue Jesus more? And who's distracting me? Who's leading me away? Because you might, like I said, you might need to shift and change some of those friendships into different types of friendships. Okay? Lastly, and we have next week, we've got Connection Sunday. And that is when we open up our small groups again and say, hey, come on in. Be a part of a small group. This is how you get connected here, is in a small group. And when you get connected here, and when you begin serving and become a part of the mission of this church, aiming to know Jesus and make him known, then let the friendships come as a result of that, as you're engaged in that. And we'll be signing up for those next week. So that's just something to think about this week for coming next Sunday, okay? There's friendships. Next week is marriage. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us and your patience with us. Thank you for the friends that you've brought into our lives, Lord God. And thank you for the friends that we have been to others that have expressed in their words how important those friendships have been. Father, I pray that in these next few moments, as we just give some time and thought and reflect on this time of teaching, God, I pray your Spirit will prompt us in a very clear direction, a clear way, so we can continue to grow and be the sticky friends, Lord God, that we need and that others need as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.